Technology is, it's not working. All right. I'm going to do a different song. Okay. You can take it off the screen in the back.
What did Judge say? Those who are in the foyer, you can walk in now. Take your seats. And if you are just coming and you did not get an envelope, please make sure you ask for one of your envelopes so that you can be aware of what is happening, what those envelopes are about. Also, the surveys are for every member of the church. If you're just coming in and you have not received a survey, I'm going to ask the deacons to make sure they give all those who have just arrived a survey. Now, the surveys, please, let us have them by the end of the day. Bring them to us for a business meeting. And so we can surely assess and evaluate how our service is to you over the past year as a church. Let me just put a caveat there, too. I being the pastor of the church doesn't mean that I'm supposed to be privileged or use the office, the privilege office, to despise or use it for my own purpose. If you, brethren, any of you see me doing that, please call me out. Because I am not here for self-gain, I'm here for service, and I'm here to serve you in spirit and in truth, to lead you in the path of righteousness. And if you see me using the privilege of an office of the pastor to despise or to do over and beyond that is given to me to do, just call me out. And if you see me misbehaving, call me out too. Because when I see any of you crossing the line or misbehaving, it is my role as a pastor, loving pastor, caring pastor, to let you know that you are on the wrong path. Am I right, brethren? Are you with me? And so, if I speak to you, I am going to try to speak to you with love, so that it's not about me. I'm going to put less of myself in it and more of the spirit and the kindness of God, so that you can be led in the path that God wants you to be. Because that's what I'm here for, a spiritual guidance, not to gain any grandeurment for myself. All right? God's love letter to the world. God's love letter to the world. Can it be trusted? God's love letter to the world. Can it be trusted? When man became separated from God, God in his infinite love and grace and mercy took the initiative to redeem him. In man's way back to God, man needs some form of directives or direction to find his way back to God. The image of God in man has been distorted, warped, and has been disfigured. God uses, and as a result of that, man cannot find himself back to God all by himself. So God has to use a device to bring him back in harmony with him. God used many all manner of object lessons to show us the way back to him. All kinds. God goes all the way out, brethren and friends, to show us the way back. He used dreams, vision, nature. He used human relationships to get our attention. He uses all of these instruments of direction and directives to get us back in harmony with him. But because we are nearsighted, we cannot see afar off. Because we are nearsighted, we cannot see afar off. However, he gives us a communication device to clearly convey his message of forgiveness and to point us to the way back to him. That device is called the gospel preaching service. What is that? What is that? GPS. GPS. It's not TomTom. It's not Waze. And what's the other popular one? Google Maps. Not that. Because if we were to depend on those, we'll go to the end of this world and go nowhere. But thank God he provided us with the GPS, the gospel preaching service. This communication device is also called the Bible. The Bible conveys the good old gospel, the good old religion, and the good old religion that will never change. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, give us the good old religion. It was good for Paul and Silas. It is good enough for us. We have discovered, Lord, that your Bible spun from age to age, from generation to generation. It has not changed. Oh, Lord, help us to apply ourselves unto wisdom and study your word so that we can find our way back to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The Good Youth Chorus said, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It is good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It is good enough for me. It was good for the three Hebrew boys. It is good enough for me. The Bible is old, but yet effective. The Bible is God's love letter to man. I gave you some letters today. But that's not God's love letter. God's love letter to everyone is this, the Bible. And you cannot know what God's desire and God's will for us until we read this. There's a program on this radio station, religious radio station, it's called Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. And I want, brethren, in this day and age, to take you back to the Bible. The good old news, the good gospel. The Bible is the only single book that is all over the world. No matter how communism that may be, it's there. It is written in all the languages of the world. No matter what language you speak, the Bible is written in that language for you. So I'm talking about some comparative things about the Bible. The Bible, number two, the Bible is the only book that will never be outdated. Its content is from eternity to eternity because it's about God who is eternal. Amen. The Bible is the only life-changing book. It educates the poor to make him rich. It adds sight to the blind and gives him long vision. It brings people from the guttermost to the uppermost. It brings the drunkard to soberness. And they bring the liars to truth tellers. The Bible, God's love letter to man. The Bible is the only reliable source of spiritual inspiration. The Bible is what? The only reliable source of spiritual inspiration. If you want to know about God and be inspired about God, you can't read a comic book. You can't read a love novel. You can't read non-fiction or even fiction books. They're not about God. They are about the authors who wrote them. The Bible is about God who gives us directives as to how we should get back to him. Today I was coming to church this morning, and I was thinking about how evil how much evil we encounter on a daily basis. And evil is in us, is out of us. Because I'm telling you, brethren and friends, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior from sin and decide to go against the grain of evil, you are coming up with resistance. But once you're sliding down the road into evil, it is no resistance. Nobody sees you, nobody criticizes you, nobody troubles you. The Bible helps us to understand that we are on the wrong path and guide us on the path to righteousness. Evil is upon us, in us, and around us. And only the Bible alone can instruct us and educate us about the evil that are existing in us and around us and in the world today and how we can escape it. And how we can escape it. So the Bible is the only reliable source of spiritual inspiration. Archaeological findings have confirmed this reliability. One of such is the Dead Sea Scroll. Dead Sea Scroll. The Dead Sea Scroll provides evidence of the writing of the Old Testament. There are some people who do not believe in the Old Testament, and some people believe only in the New Testament. But both testaments are testimonies of God. And the Dead Sea Scroll provides evidence of the reliability and the inspiration of the Old Testament. Another archaeological finding is the creation epic. These are a set of seven tablets found when they excavated Nineveh. The tablet lists 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest. 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest. This corresponds with the Bible, because it is the Bible that the only book that tells us about 6 days of creation and on the seventh day God rested. That authenticates the Bible as being reliable. Also, the Rosetta Stone, another archaeological finding, is a Rosetta Stone found 1799. This held the key to interpret the Egyptian style of writing called the hieroglyphics. That was not known to succeeding civilization. So in order for one civilization to know what is in the next civilization, they had to know the writings and the language they were used. The Rosetta Stone provided the key to interpret the hieroglyphics. That is to say, the hieroglyphics is what is called an Egyptian style of writing. If you could not decode that, you would not understand what was happening in the time of the Egyptian reigning. So the Rosetta Stone helps to decode that so that we can have what is called a connection between civilizations and all those civilizations that succeeded. Also, those of you who have studied the little book that Elder Howard printed and write the Bible study guide, baptismal study guide, I took this from it. It says, it emphasizes the harmony of the Bible truth. So the harmony, the harmonious writing and thought process of the Bible helps to understand and authenticate the Bible. The harmony, what is the harmony? The Bible is a miracle in so many ways. Though written over a period of 1,600 years, about 40 different authors. How many different authors?
40 different authors on 3 different continents speaking 4 different languages, it's completely harmonious. It has got to the spirit that working. Written by kings and peasants with a wide spectrum of education between, it delivers one message and one voice. Moreover, in Revelation, you will find a reference to Genesis, and in Genesis, you'll find reference of Revelation. That speaks to the harmony of the Bible. 40 different authors over 1,600 years. The Bible is still coherent, effective, and harmonized, speaking one language about the gospel of salvation, about Jesus coming to save man and bringing man back to God. One message. That is what it's all about, the gospel. One message. Not to mention also the prophetic fulfillment. If you read another point I want to make before I move on to that point, the Bible coincides with secular history, true or false? Yeah. When you study, the days when I used to study history in college called world civilization, and I used to learn about the kingdoms of Rome and the kings of Rome. And I go on and I find them. My first encounter of them was in the Bible. And if you were to look at the different generations coming down, the different organizations and different empires, the Bible speaks about them. From Daniel's standpoint, Daniel outlined the different empires and kingdoms and reign and fall of kingdoms. I learned that in my Daniel and Revelation class in college. And when I did world civilization, I was able to piece them together. The Bible is authentic, brethren. The Bible is good. The Bible is precious. The Bible should be followed so that we can go back to what God wants us to be. Amen. The rise and fall of empires, the prophetic outline of the 2300 days prophecy helps us to understand where we are in prophecy today. The Bible, no other book is able to determine where we are in prophecy, where we are in earth's history. Only the Bible tells us that. From Genesis to Revelation helps us to understand that. No other book, brethren, can tell us what will happen in the year after but the Bible. Amen. So we as a Christian, we know what will happen after the world ends. We know what will happen. And we know where we are going. The outstanding and lasting evidence of the truth of the Bible. Here are some of them. The rainbow. The rainbow. Have you, any author, any books have ever told about the rainbow before the Bible? The Bible in the flood talks about the rainbow. God set up the rainbow as a covenant relationship between his people. The rainbow. What's the other? The other is the cardinal points of the earth. The 4 cardinal points of the earth. The Bible made mention of them. He said, when the children of Israel were setting up the sanctuary, one tribe on the east, one tribe on the west, one tribe on the south, one tribe on the north. It tells me that there are four cardinal points in the world, and it came from the Bible. And then science, follow through with it. Science and Bible are together, and the science that we believe in authenticate the Bible. Some scientists predicted, or some scientists announcing that the world is so many years old, like 12 billion years old. But my Bible tells me that according to the age of people, we are in a 6,000 years of creation. How do we know that? You can go and check how long the first man lived until Abraham, and the Bible is able to give account of all the years right down to today, so we can understand that we have what is called a time span of the Bible reaching 6,000 years. A time span of the world, that is. The rise and fall of powers. Some people don't get it. That you're not in power for long. The Bible let it be known to us. God do what? God does what? He set up what? Kings, and he what? Take them down. Is the Bible let us know that? Some political people today don't understand that. That you're just there for a short time. Is the Bible let us know that? The other outstanding evidence of the truth of the Bible is the signs of the days, the signs of in our last days, signs of the time. Song says, signs of the times are everywhere. Yes. They are in our very eyes. They are beaming throughout our own bodies. Our own words, our own behavior are demonstrating the time in which we live. Time sensitive. The Bible helps us to understand that. Only 80 degrees. The Bible is the only book that can allow us to have what is called an 80 degree changes in our life. them. I'm telling you, brethren, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Yes. Don't be intimidated, because you know in whom you believe. You know that you have a God in heaven. You know he wants you back, and he wants to redeem you, and he wants to forgive you. And you can stand tall and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Yes. Yes. The Bible gives you that confidence. Paul was preaching to King Agrippa. And this is how the Bible is. He was preaching to King Agrippa, and Paul told him about all that Jesus would have done and all how he came for the Christian, how he came to forgive us. And King Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. That's how effective the Bible is. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Murderers, the Bible has changed many lives and have them repented of their sins and head back to God. Murderers are repenting when they encounter the Bible. Yes, murderers repented when they encountered the Bible. I am here to tell you, my friend, that you can trust the Bible. It is the most authentic book in the age, through all the ages on the earth, from age to age. It is the most authentic book, and we can trust it. Amen. Use it, brethren. You know, a lot of people use the Bible wrongfully. You know that. Mm-hmm. I go and tell him a psalm, you see. Yes, man. I'm going to read them a psalm. The Bible is not for that. The Bible is not to condemn people. The Bible is to uplift people. The Bible is not to curse people. The Bible is to bless people. And so, brethren, you don't use the Bible to do all manner of evil. You use the Bible to bring you back to Christ, because what the Bible is all about. I will end by saying, I have found a resting place not in a man-made creed. That's the Bible. It wasn't made by man, even though men wrote it. Yes, holy men of God were inspired, were moved by God, by the Holy Spirit to write this Bible, but they could not do it of their own. And that is why Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written for our what? Our learning, that we may know the what? We may know the patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. Yep. For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. When difficult times come and we go to the book, it brings us hope. It doesn't bring us suicidal thoughts and ideations. It brings us what, brethren?
Hope.
Hope. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 to 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. We never know about any plagues, whether in Egypt or in the year or years to come, except through the Bible. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That is to say, brethren,
This book is for safe keep. It is not to be altered, not to be changed. You have different versions of the Bible because man loves changes. And they love to change, but they try to water down the Bible with different, all kind of versions. But the Bible still stands. Jesus Christ came and died for man so that man's sins can be forgiven and man may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have the everlasting life. That's the gospel, brethren. Comes from the Bible. That's our hope. We should not add to it, nor take away. Because if we add to it, we add in our own version. And if we take away from it, we are taking away and burning that which God have instructed us to do. So we cannot burn the instruction. You know, when I just came to this country, there wasn't any GPS at the time. So traveling around, it used to be Google Map. MapQuest. Thank you. That's why you're there. Yep. Thank you. MapQuest. And some people, Sister Marge, used to use a big map. Road map. Yep, a big road map. And nobody lost their way. You ever noticed that? Nobody missed their turn. Nobody lost their way. Have you ever stopped to think about that, brethren? And sometimes the GPS said, turn. Turn, and it sometimes tells you just after you pass the turn, you have reached your destination. The Bible does not allow you to miss your turn.
Praise the Lord.
The Bible doesn't allow you to miss your turn, and it doesn't take you into dark spots. And guess what happened, brethren? Guess what happened? There are times when you're going to areas that the GPS doesn't pick up. The Bible picks up from eternity to eternity. To the dark part, from the hills to the valley, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. The Bible picks up, and it's the same Bible from the east of the world to the west of the world, to the south of the world, to the north of the world. The Bible stands the same, and anywhere you go, that is why the people say, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Because of the Bible. That is why I can sing this song. That's why we can sing this song today. My faith have found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. When you sing that song today, brethren, in closing, sing it with confidence, because you have it. Sing it with confidence because it touched you. That's why you're here. Sing it with confidence because that's changed your lives. Sing it with confidence, brethren, because you have seen other people's lives have changed. Sing it with all you have before you sing it. I want to hear from you. You're down there. And you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior from sin. And you believe that the Bible is able to change lives. But you have not yet been baptized. You have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. But somehow you are with Christ and you're walking with him and you want to be saved in his kingdom, and you're saying, Pastor, I want you to pray for me so that I may continue on that path, I may continue to find reason to study your Bible, meet in due season, an instruction for dark ages, and the direction on a winded road to back to you. You want to say that. You're done there. You have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. You have not yet committed your life to Jesus Christ. You have not yet been baptized, but you're here today. You're saying, please pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You have been studying the Bible, but somehow you are seeking greater light, instructions to follow God, but somehow you find it difficult. Some things about the Bible is difficult. Some things about it is vague. And you're saying, Pastor, please pray for me that when I read the Bible, I'll be inspired by God and I'll be willing to follow his command. You're down there. You're saying, Lord, I want God in my heart. Pastor, please pray for me. You're down there. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise those hands. Raise those hands. Raise those hands. Raise those hands. Now, hold, brethren, you're here. And they're saying, I will continue to study God's word. I will continue to let it be a rule of faith and practice for me. Anywhere I go, I'll serve the Lord with gladness and I'll study the word of God. You're here with me and I made that pledge. I made that pledge. You want to stand with me? Stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let us pray. Father God, we have discovered, Lord, day after day, that your words are clearer to us. We discover, Lord, that you want to save us. We have discovered, Lord, that you are a God of love and mercy, and you want to take us back to him. And so, Lord, you give us the gospel preaching service so as we can find a way back to you and so that your image can be restored in us. Touch this standing congregation. There are some who have studied the Bible, Lord, and have not got the inspiration yet to follow it. Lord, reach down and touch them. There are some, Lord, who have studied the Bible, who are reading the Bible, have not yet given their heart to Jesus Christ. Lord, reach over and convict them, convince them and convert them. I pray, God, for us as a church, that as we continue to read your Bible, we will follow it all the way. All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Guide through the Bible. Oh, Lord, guide us, oh, God. Help us to follow your guidance, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing as we do the closing exercise.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 523.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made dream. I trust the ever-living one, and who for me will be. I need no other evidence, I need no other plea. Living with that Jesus died and rose again for me. Enough for me that Jesus said, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other evidence, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
my soul.
My soul is resting on the word.
The living word. Living word of God.
Salvation in my Savior's name. Salvation through
I need no other evidence.
I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave.
I need no other plea.
It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Glory be to him who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to his glorious presence, innocent and happy. To God, the only God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, authority, and power which he had before time began, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, Lord, with blessings we pray. As from thy worship we go our ways, and in life's conflicts of good and ill, save in thy kingdom, and in thy praise.
Praise the Lord. Please be seated, everyone. And while you are meditating upon the sermon today, after you would have finished that, we are inviting you for lunch. All right? So. All right, you will be ushered out by the deacons after we would have left the platform.